silence, stillness. And from that point, you give your full attention to either someone who is speaking or to your own thoughts and reactions and responses mentally. Equally, you want to pay attention to both of those and give it your full attention. Speaking authentically is very difficult if you are using the thinking mind to put something together. For example, if you've rehearsed what you want to say in a wisdom circle, that isn't really authentic speech. You speak from your heart, and when you speak from your heart, that's you're vulnerable, you're open, and that's a very different thing than when you have very carefully crafted an argument mentally or something like that, and you're using that as your format for speaking. So briefly, that's the essence of the wisdom circle that we use. And although it sounds like, oh, that's a big order, it's really not. It actually comes quite naturally when you are in a meditative state, and those principles are already there. And that's essentially the wisdom circle is a form of meditation. Not that much different from what we practice in Vipassana, in seated meditation. And I'll just leave it at that at this point, but that's
Jim. Jim, can you mention the four principles again? I just started recording at the second one. I forgot. Okay.
Suspend, respect, listening, and speaking authentically.
And those are the four principles.
Those are the four principles.
Wisdom circle.
And those were developed in order to facilitate effective communication. And it's used quite a bit in the modern world, but it's used as problem solving, mediation, this sort of thing. There's a very strong movement corporate-wise to use this, bring it into both the Japanese management models and the American management models to try and just communicate more effectively. Sure, I can send out the outline on this that might help for somebody, because you shouldn't have to be taking notes during this. So if that's desired, let me know and I'll send it out.
Alrighty, so Carol.
Going to start off with Carol chanting.
Yeah, well, we're all going to chant. But since I know in my experience with Zoom, things are not going to be synchronized together.
No, they're not.
So instead of we're not going to try to sing, we're just going to recite the gate, padagate, padasamgate, bodhisvaha, just in our regular speaking voices, but we'll just make it as smooth, we'll just as even and continuous as we can. Once we start, we're just going to continue for maybe a couple of minutes, and I will ring the bell when it's time to end, so you don't have to wonder when it's time to end. For those who don't know it, I don't know who all is here. If you don't know it, all you need to do is say, gate, 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 and just continue on with gate. And some of us know more than that.
Yes.
So I think it should work for everyone. You can close your eyes or have your eyes open, whatever you'd like. So I'll just get started. And we're not trying to be in sync. If I begin the second going through it the second time and you're not there yet, don't worry about it. Just stay with wherever you are, and we'll all be in a different place, and that's what we're expecting. So don't think it's wrong. It's just fine. It's what we're doing. Okay. So I'll just begin and then just join in at your own, in your own way, at your own pace, when, whenever you're ready. And I have a little bell I'll ring to, I'll signal it when to finish the line. Gate, gate, para gate, para sam gate, bodhi svaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sam gate, bodhi svaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sam gate, bodhi svaha. Now to yourself silently.
Thank you, Carol. So since this is all new and we're trying out new things, can we just hear what it would sound like if we all chanted it at the same time to see the cacophony?
Sure. we'll do our usual singing, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Ready?
Gate, 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 para sam gate,
how about if everybody was muted but you, Carol, and we chanted through it?
Okay. You want to try that?
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Okay. Hold on. Hold on.
Okay. All right. And I'll. Gate, gate, para gate, para sam gate, bodhisvaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sam gate, bodhisvaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sam gate, bodhisvaha.
Okay, everybody's unmuted for this.
What did you like best? Number one? Number two or number three?
Life number three.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome, everyone. Linda.
I was just going to spend a minute going over the words of the Paragate chant. It's one of the oldest chants that there is, and millions of people are chanting this chant every day. And gate means going. It's gate, you're going somewhere. It's a process. And paragate is where you're going to, and where you're going to is you're going to home. You're going to your own home. And you could say that home is a place of wholeness, it's a place of your essential true nature. You could say that it's enlightenment. So you could say, gate, gate, we're going towards recognition of that place of our home, that place of essential true nature. Parasamgate is all beings. So all of us together, the Sangha, all of us are going together. We're going home together. And Bodhi means to be awake. And Bodhi is like an awaring presence. And you could say that Bodhi is like awake to love. Svaha, the last word, actually means like hallelujah. And it's like, oh, it's like living as a compassionate being. So it's like, gate, gate, here we are all on a path. We're going together as one to recognize our essential true nature and that place of wholeness. And when we reach that place of awaring presence, then hallelujah, we're all there. We've all gone to the other side. So basically, you could say that is our practice. You know, that is our practice as a Sangha. That is our practice with the teachings. And to go to this place of wholeness.
All right.
So right now, I'm kind of torn because I had this presentation I was going to do that went along with this. But right before we were tuned in, we were listening to the news. And you know how that can alter things? So as I was listening to the news, it's like, oh, maybe that's what I need to speak to most, because that's what feels like it's most real for me in my heart right now. So I was reflecting back to a class that I taught my I have some cancer patients that I work with through Images of Hope, and it was a class that I was teaching to them, and it was about taking a seat in our life. And taking a seat in our life means, how can we say yes to life moving through us? Because isn't that our practice? This life, this amazing mystery of life, it's always moving through us. And our practice is, how can I just say yes and live this life to the best of my ability in the most skillful ways possible? So, you know, this is really a fierce practice to be awake, right? Because as you know, the challenges at this time in our life of being a human being, you know, to be with life as it is, and we know the stories and the dramas, and currently the, you know, the coronavirus and the need to quiet our minds, and because we know the stories can be overwhelming and they create a lot of fear, and there's feelings of vulnerability. And we feel a need to control. And the
Linda,
way that
we try to,
pardon me? You can't hear? Okay. We feel like we need to control life. And when we try to.
There you are.
Warren, is everyone else muted? Have you muted us all?
No.
Uh-uh. Well, we need to be muted.
I bet we could hear her better if we were all muted.
I'm hearing her very clearly.
I was just looking for a break.
Okay.
To do that.
She's very clearly coming through.
Okay. Where's Linda? Okay, Linda, you're unmuted.
Okay. So can you all hear me okay now? Yes? Okay. All right. So I hope you were able to hear some of that previously. So
just
you know,
about 20 seconds.
Okay.
It was just about 20 seconds.
So we have these feelings of vulnerability, overwhelm. We have a sense of we want to try to control things. And the way that we experience controlling things is by putting boundaries on them. And when we put boundaries on things, we feel contracted. And it makes us feel tight. And it makes us feel stressed out. And it's like we're holding ourselves against life coming through us. So it leads to all types of manipulation. And probably our biggest fear is the fear that we won't be adequately taken care of. So there's the welcoming in this aspect of just being a human being. This is what's here. And then the other thing is that there's love and there's trust and there's holding. And from Frank, he says that these are the prerequisites for feeling safe and secure and for feeling love. To feel love, trust, and holding. So we develop these qualities of love, trust, and holding by remembering our essential true nature. And for some of us, it's discovering it for the first time, or it's uncovering it because we've been so contracted that we haven't been able to notice that it's there. But it's always there. It's never not there. It just gets forgotten. So this essential true nature, the Buddha nature, has qualities. And these qualities are qualities of peace and ease and love and joy. And as I mention these words, see if you can actually have a sense of what they feel like in your body. Like drop down to the place of your heart. And the quality, because it's beyond thinking, but it has an embodied felt sense of what it's like to experience peace. A sense of ease. A calming. Love. Perhaps expansion. A sense of well-being. It actually has a feeling of being spacious and unbounded. And it feels perfect, and it feels whole, and it feels complete. And it happens when we're just being, when we stop doing and we just stop and we pause. And we just connect. And you could start by connecting with your body. Take your attention down to the contact points, the surface that you're sitting against or under your feet, and pause for a moment and feel what it feels like to be connected to the earth, to feel a part of the earth. And to take and then just feel, sense your body. Take your attention to your shoulders and feel whatever's there, just as it is. And the weight of your arms. resting down into the palms of the hands. And notice how thinking starts to settle down, and there's just a being here. Relax your jaw. And as you're just being, open your sense doors. Open to sounds. Don't go out and get the sounds. Let the sounds come to you. And then there's the breath. Listen for your breath. And perhaps you might notice the quietude behind the breath, the stillness. And how you can just rest here, a sense of calm here, now, not in the past, not in the present, right now, in this present moment, a sense of being and a sense of well-being. Everything's okay here. A feeling of being connected. Connected to life. Moving through you. Just notice all the different ways life is moving through you. Allowing it. No preferences. You have found your home, Parasamgata. Here. And what you notice is everything moves through you, that you are aware of it. Aware of thoughts, sounds, sensations. And what does awareness feel like? It feels spacious. Unbounded. Feel out into the space. Out in front of you. Feel into the space behind you, not looking with your eyes, just feel. The space to the right of you. To the left of you. above your head. Below your feet. Inside. Outside. No inside, no outside. Just spacious, boundless. And how your awareness welcomes everything, just as it is. There's nothing you need to know right here. And if you drop your attention down to the heart, and feel again that place of peace, of love. Well-being. Relax. Open. So you could say that both are very true in our life. The world as it is, and also this something else that always holds us and supports us. And all we have to do is become still. Just stop and just pause. It helps a lot to sense and feel your body, to get yourself out of your thinking mind. But here we remember our true nature. It's always here. It's never not here. So you could say it's a loving, holding environment. You could say awareness is a loving, holding environment. Do you remember that story that Terry told us before from David Foster Wallace? The story of that. This is water. It was a story of these two young fish, and they're swimming along in the ocean. And then this older gentleman fish comes swimming along the opposite direction. And when he meets up even with the two younger fish, he goes, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" And the two young fish, they just keep swimming on until the older fish is out of sight. And then the one fish says to the other, "What in the hell is water?" And the story is, this is our essential true nature. It's so ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's never not here. It's inside, outside. It's everywhere. And yet, what's water? You know? And so it's like, in times like this, it's so helpful to keep cultivating and practicing going here to feel, so that it does become a loving, holding environment. So that when there is overwhelm or there is fear, which is also very real, we can hold it with this love, with this compassion, with this awaring presence. And this presence is only here when we are present. We can't be lost in our thinking mind. Not in the discursive mind, but in the present-centered network now, here. Oh, did you notice how you could relax there? So you could say attention is our holding environment. So from our wisdom circle, did you want to say more about that? In our wisdom circle, as Jim was encouraging us, is to speak authentically and to perhaps drop down from the place of the thinking mind down into the place of the heart. And to speak from that place. What you would do is raise your hand if you want to speak. And does everybody know how to raise their hand, Warren?
It should be... down at the bottom, where it says participants, if you click on that, it should show you an option to raise your hand. I will,
Does everybody see that?
They can't answer. I'm going to unmute everybody.
Okay.
All right. Does everybody see where you can raise your hand?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Good.
If you don't, you have to click the participants at the bottom. And then that'll bring up your screen over on the right, and it'll show you at the bottom to raise your hand. You see that?
That's why I mute all. I'm going to mute all again.
Okay.
And I'll selectively unmute. Where's Linda?
So,
Linda, you're unmuted.
Okay. So a question. Might be, do you have a minute?
As we move into the wisdom circle, just look at this as though it's a meditation that, and Frank and Terry have given us some really good instructions in how to enter meditation. Find a comfortable seated position, one that you can essentially remain in that position and be still during the course of the meditation. Don't be in a hurry to settle in. Actually, make sure that you are comfortable and can be basically comfortable in your body during this. Dedicate this, the benefits of this practice, to all beings. I think that's really an important part of what we do, is to recognize this is not, what we're doing is not for ourselves. It is for all of us. And then become still and just let your attention drop down below the level, take your attention and move it to the breath and use the breath as a vehicle to allow your attention to move down into the area of the spiritual heart. And that's going to be below the level of that running narrative of the mind, that discursive thinking where all of our thoughts and sensations and so forth are. Drop down into the area of the heart. And if at any time during the course of the circle you find yourself, if there's a thought, allow it to just arise and pass away. If for some reason it hooks you and takes you into that level of the thinking mind, then just bring the attention back to the breath and take, and then drop down to the heart level again. And there's a distinct feeling and sensation that is that you experience when that is your experience of coming from the heart. And for everybody, it's going to be a little different. For me, it's an openness, a spaciousness, an intimacy. And there's a feeling of connectedness that I don't really encounter often when I'm in my thinking mind. So these are all basic tools and techniques we use during meditation. And they're the same ones that were used in the wisdom circle to basically be able to live and experience those principles that I talked about earlier. So I'm going to let Linda take from here with her question, I believe. So
the question might be, is there something within yourself that you have come to trust? Perhaps it's a quality that you've come to trust, or, you know, it's like, what's a loving holding environment for you? You know, I think of loving holding environments as being like, you know, a nest for a baby bird, or, you know, the womb for an infant. Or, you know, even like a coffee cup holds the coffee. You know, it's something that holds you. It's something that you can rely on. It's something that you can put your faith in. And then when you've identified with that, then you can cultivate it. And it's something that you can turn to. When the challenges are great. Any questions on the question? Okay. So if you, when you raise your hand, then Warren will call on somebody and they'll be unmuted and they will talk. And then when they're done talking, there'll be a pause before the next person shares, because basically we're all sitting here in an open-eyed meditation, seeing one another, hearing, listening, sensing, feeling the person that's sharing. And basically we are being there, loving, holding environment. So they can feel the trust and the faith that they can just truly share from their heart authentically. So we will do this for 20 minutes.
Gina, 1 second. Gina.
So finding what I can trust within myself, I realized creativity, writing and sewing, and dyeing fabric has really been nurturing. It first, when we went into this time period, I was really resistant to being alone, but now I'm finding resources to hold myself. And I think letting things just flow through me versus, sometimes I get kind of dammed up, but letting things flow more easily.
Maybe you might mute us.
It's okay.
Oh, the dog.
Our dog is snoring behind us. Feel free to raise your hand. Kathleen. Kathleen, you're unmuted.
Okay. Well, what I have found that really helps me is that I have allowed myself to just let things unfold instead of making plans or worrying about things, that I can really trust that things are unfolding exactly as they should be. And the other thing that allows me to have the unfolding is patience, that you just relax and don't try to be the driver. I feel myself more as a passenger in a car or whatever, and just looking about. And when I see something that attracts me, that my body feels pleasant about, sometimes I will just look at that. Like, this feels calm. This, and it's kind of like having a knowing that, oh, this is what's unfolding, and then this is what I will do. And so that has just really supported me in a lot of changes. Just letting things unfold.
Thank you, Warren.
Janet.
All right. So my trust is really in the human condition, our humanness, my humanness. My ability to hold both. My indignation, my anger, and also the humanness, the humor that is coming out of this, and also the kindness, the resilience of people. I'm in awe of us as human beings. And I see in different places, when I went for my walk today, I went around in a different way. And in the past, I've not seen hardly anybody. The whole neighborhood was out walking on different sides of the road. I met people that live here that I've never met before. So it's like, I really trust this time to open us up to maybe to life, to what to the positive, to choices that will be made in the future that are very different than were made in the past. So I guess I have faith, actually, which is interesting, that as a species we'll be able to see things differently after this time.
Linda.
Yeah.
I have come to trust. This has been a process that's taken place gradually over years, but I have come to trust the yearning, the spiritual yearning that I feel deep inside of me, that years and years ago I was seeking and looking for something outside of myself. And this yearning is directed inward. It's directed toward a better understanding, more clarity of myself, loving myself more, being more tolerant of my my ego, my personality, and so forth, and at the same time allowing vulnerability and so forth to emerge. And this yearning is, I really trust that. I really think that that's the most real part of me at this point in my life, and probably will be with me until the end of this life. But I am very, I feel very, very safe and very, just filled with joy at being connected to that yearning. So regardless of where this all takes us, I rest in that loving, holding environment of that yearning, I guess is what I have to say.
So, yeah, at long last, I've just learned to trust my heart. Through much of my life, while my heart was there, I kind of viewed it as a handicap that got in the way of taking care of business, as it were. And so I tended to push it away and stuff it down and avoid it, and to live life strictly through discursive means. But through this practice and some other work I'm doing, I've learned to embrace my heart, to accept it, to allow it to be what it is, and that allows me to love myself, which is something I never understood. I would hear people say, you have to learn to love yourself. And I would say, well, what the bleep is that? You know, how do you love yourself? And it's coming clear to me, not only on a conceptual level, but on a feeling level. And it's allowed me to, I guess at long last, to fully love others. I've come to trust my ability to trust. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tag on while we're here. Joanne, I'll move up a little bit to the screen here. Something I've been working on in our little group here is the thought of soul journey really being guided by the true, the good, and the beautiful. That I think a lot of this to remember as I get pulled into this, the bliss and the joy of life. And so I have found myself, while we don't have spring here yet, really, we do have Colorado blue skies and high mountain peaks. I'm at the foot of the Sangre de Crystal Mountains. And so I've realized I enjoyed starting
this today with a mantra, because I've been given mantras by, I've been using three different traditions, and I'm finding myself walking under that sky and just singing them, you know, and just getting lost in them, and knowing that that's there, that that core is that beauty, and is that love, and is that truth. And so I've done everything for Easter from Neil Douglas Quatz's The Aramaic Lord's Prayer to a Lakota protection song I was given, to singing the Gayatri Mantra that we did in the Dances of Universal Peace. And it just seems like this beautiful, wide open, universal, seeing things in the universal, and reminding me that that still is what is surrounding us. For me.
Richard here. I'm really struck at the question that the only place and time and that I feel completely held is during my meditation. I mean, half the time in my meditation, I'm daydreaming. But when I catch myself and I'm able to concentrate, let go and be consciously aware, I drop in, and the feeling is that I'm being completely held. I'm loved. I am love. And it's 10 times or 100 times better than even being loved by Gail, which is extraordinary. But it's kind of still outside. It's not the oneness that my meditation practice has been increasingly opening me up to. So I'd have to say that I feel completely 100% safe and held. I know there's a God. I know that God exists, but Gail and I pray every morning and every night, and it's like, you know, I do more daydreaming. Well, not if I pray after my meditation, my prayers are an extension of my meditation. But I just noticed that I tend to daydream otherwise. And even Gail is quite increasingly aware that if we do prayer after our meditation, she meditates with me often now. Those prayers are just powerful for both of us. But it's not to an external God. It's to the most intimate relationship imaginable. So, and I just wish that it doesn't happen to me when I walk in nature, like other people. It doesn't happen when I'm making love. Doesn't happen, certainly when I'm working. So that's the reason that my meditation practice, 40 minutes every morning, has been inviolable. I don't care if I got 5 hours of sleep, I'll get up and I will meditate, even if I'm falling asleep, just to keep that practice going. It is the thing that will save me. There's nothing else that will save me. That is my Lord and Savior, is my meditation practice. And if some Christian can show me this, that that's what Jesus meant, then I'll become a Christian. Until then, I know what's saving me. I know where my source is. It's like I'm becoming it. And I'm sorry if that's heresy. That's not my problem. That's theirs. Anyway, thank you.
I just go,
Kristen.
I have come to trust that whatever life brings to me will be the thing that cracks me open, and that will be a good thing. I trust that completely. I don't fear anymore. It's a very comfortable feeling.
Thank you. Lynn. Lynn, you're unmuted.
Thank you. I feel really held in the present moment. When I drop into the here and now, I find it very expansive and open and yet substantial. And I just feel completely held in that moment.
Peter. Peter, you're unmuted.
Thank you. I trust my inner nature, my causes and conditions come out as the clothing and personality that I wear. Way I see and act, but particularly through this practice, I can see that there is an inner nature that is like a light in the darkness, and not easy to trust that. Or not easy to see that. It's easy to trust that. I also see appreciation of beauty. Beauty as in what you would, what would you you'd see through awe. Yeah, I think that's it.
Carol.
I trust in the workings of the universe, that it's always working to bring things into harmony and balance. And it's kind of irrelevant whether or not I will see how that comes to be. But actually, I'm always seeing it come to be to some extent, whether my concerns are resolved or not. And I trust in just the whole process of our living our lives, of that it takes 9 months for gestation for a reason, and it takes what it takes for us to gain wisdom and understanding and the aging process, whether we like it or not, to just kind of don't worry about liking it or not, but just trusting in that slow unfolding, and everything is unfolding as it's meant to be. If I don't get in the way and wanting it to shape it in some way. And I trust in the Dharma, and using that as a view of life and for a resource for finding my own path through.
Linda and Jim, you're still unmuted. Thank you.
Thank you all for your beautiful sharing. One thing that I trust is I know that I am always held, and it certainly has been, I've been held by the Sangha for a long time. And I continue to feel held.
Thank you. You did a wonderful job, both of you.
Thank you.
I still miss the hugs.
This is a...
Yeah. I'm going to unmute everyone. Let's see. Okay. Okay, you're all unmuted.
Hey, Warren, thank you so much for and, you know, it's a whole different face to the Sangha.
It's a privilege. Yeah.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.
And thank you for your flexibility and allowing us to try all these different things.
Linda? Where'd you go?
What?
Sure. Feel free to chat amongst yourselves.
It's just wonderful to see everyone.
Yeah.
And this is what I trust. I trust that we'll all be showing up like this for each other and supporting one another. And with Warren's tutelage, we will learn the future of computers. Thank you, Warren.
You're welcome. This is, it's a pleasure. It's far more intimate than I would have thought.
Yeah, I think that's really true, Warren, that it's very intimate in a way I wouldn't have expected.
It was actually very intimate with 550 people yesterday with Frank and Joan Halifax. It really was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what happens? Do you see different people coming in and out of the screen, whoever's talking?
Yeah, they had intended on assigning people. There's a function on Zoom. You can make breakout rooms.
Oh.
It'll do it automatically, and you can have as many as you want. And so they had intended on doing breakout rooms, but it didn't work. So they just had people raise their hands, and people from Europe and New Zealand and Australia. It was wonderful. And it was very impassioned. I mean, people were just really full of emotion. The question that Frank asked is, and again, many of these people were caregivers, hospice folks, and people really on the front lines of all of this. And he asked people, what practices support you through your grief? And it was an amazing question. And I really encourage everybody to sign up for those three sessions with Frank. I think they're, let me put it back on here. I think they're midday. I could be wrong.
Yeah, they're 12.
11 a.m. to 12:30 Mountain Time. Okay, so that'd be 10 a.m. to 11:30 Pacific Time. And so I don't believe they'll be recorded, so you really have to be there. I didn't share it, did I? There we are. 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Mountain. And
which day?
So you couldn't find two more gifted people when it comes to bearing witness together in troubled times. They, they both walked the talk. And
good.
Is anyone having any difficulty at all with Zoom? Are there any questions that I can answer? Seems to be working. I'm not sure about Valerie. I see her lovely face smiling at me, but no other evidence.
Warren, I can only see 9 squares. How do I see more? How many do you all see?
More.
18.
You have to close down your participants box, and then your whole screen will be filled with the squares. And you do that with the in the participants white box. There's a little arrow to the left of the word participants, and you click that, and you can close it.
Hmm.
Maybe you're on your telephone.
No, I'm on my iPad, and I'm not seeing it that way.
Oh, yeah, the iPad.
I have
different.
A little grid
is
over
there,
here.
Carol, is there an arrow to the left or to the right on your screen?
Without my participants on? No.
When you're in gallery view, is there an arrow to the right?
Yeah.
Because when the screen fills up,
your finger is so funny.
There and you go to the next screen.
A giant finger.
I know it.
Yeah.
I'm going to touch you.
Reach out and touch somebody.
Sanitize it.
6 feet apart now. They stay 6 feet apart.
Barbara is saying my has no internal symptoms.
Well, next week is Terry giving a talk, right? Well,
thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, I believe so. I don't have the schedule in front of me. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Lovely seeing you all.
All right.
Hey, Richard, enjoy
those
North
Lights. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, that was beautiful, Richard.
I'll tell you a secret. You can all have them. It's a function of Zoom.
Is it?
You can put any picture behind you that you want. Go down to...
Yeah, you can put your own picture.
Go down to stop video, and to the right of that, there's an arrow. And you go up, and you click choose virtual background. And they have a few in there. And there's one with a beach. And it has blowing wind. Those are the little movie screen ones.
Hmm.
And you can put your own picture in there by uploading one.
Oh.
Little plus sign.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, wow, look at Carol.
Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
Oh, look at Kathleen. She's at the beach.
Look.
Oh, yeah.
She's really there, too. It's blowing.
You guys are showing off.
Yeah, oh, I love the way my eyes are sparkling.
Well, that's because you're too far back.
I think I've been smoking some of this greenery.
Oh, look at you.
now we're playing. Whoa.
Have fun.
How did you find that?
By accident.
No.
I like pressing buttons.
Very fun.
Hey, Linda, I miss your yoga classes.
Where are you, Rod?
Where am I?
There you are. I miss having you in class.
the Golden Gate.
Warren, thank you for what you're doing.
You're welcome. I need to train a few other folks, just in case.
Yeah, you're going to be pretty busy.
Well,
the other thing that you may not know about is that you can send everybody a message by text with a little chat button, or you can send a private message to just somebody particularly. Like I sent Tina a little hello, but it seems like she didn't see it.
I did see it.
No passing notes in class.
Yeah.
stop telling people all of these things, because they'll be passing notes.
Yeah. Good night, everyone. Have a
good night, my dears.
Good night, everyone. Guys.
Good to end it.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you.
Love you.
Oh, on the beach, Kathleen. I love it.
I'm a little overdressed.
You're kind of hot.
Bye.
Bye.